Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman Cheerleader. Hope everybody's doing okay today. Today, we're going to jump right in. I wanted to share with you the importance of having gratitude and how it should be top priority in your wellness journey. I've been discussing this with my coaching clients during our sessions, and I thought it would be important as well for you to know that, all of our listening audience. And again, I thank you for tuning in. Last month, actually, you all know, or many of you know, that I released volume one of my new book, The Busy Woman's Guide to Holistic Health and Wellness. Volume one of the series is out on Amazon. And also, we have our new journal that is out. It's a gratitude journal called The 60 Days to a Grateful Mind. That is out as well. I'll leave the links down below so that you have access to that. But without further ado, we're going to jump right in and let you hear an insert from the book on gratitude. I hope that you learned something from that, and I'll be back with you soon.
Chapter 3, Gratitude Checkup. This is a wonderful day. I've never seen this one before. Maya Angelou. Every day you are given is a privilege to have, no matter what you may see as an issue for the moment. Life is a precious gift that we should never take for granted. You can never let the challenges and oppositions you face make you ungrateful. Please remember that every problem has an expiration date, and that any troubles you face will not always last. The quote above brings to my mind an instance when my daughter was around 6 or 7. That year, I had to wake her up extra early for school. She would get up saying something under her breath as she dragged along, preparing to curl up on my couch. I didn't think much of it, so I'd slip back into the kitchen to make her breakfast. I was excited to see another day that my little one was alive and well. As I was scurrying around to make sure that I fed her before she had to get dressed, then onto her school bus, I was in a pretty good mood. Well, on this particular day, I'd finished cooking and called for her to come into the kitchen to eat, but nothing. I called her again, thinking maybe she had fallen back asleep on the couch. Still nothing, not a peep from her. So I went back into the living room, and it's pitch black dark in there. No TV, no noise, no kids shuffling, nothing. At this point, I was completely confused about what was going on and why it was so dark in my living room. I started rubbing the walls for the light switch, finally turning it on, and poof, there was my child sitting in the middle of the couch with this huge frown on her face. I apologized to her, saying, "Oh, did the light hurt your eyes?" And she boldly told me, "No, I don't like waking up in the morning." I was standing there in shock that this whole child had the audacity to tell me that she does not like waking up in the morning. I actually began laughing as I checked to see if she had a fever or looked sick. She was fine. I then used that as a teachable moment to tell her that, number one, she was too young to start off in life being upset because she didn't want to wake up in the morning. I told her that every day that the good Lord allowed her eyes to open was a gift. I told her how so many people in the world that did not have a nice bed to sleep in at night, nor clean clothes and sheets to cover themselves with. I further explained that even the fact that I was preparing breakfast for her before school was a blessing because so many people don't have food to eat. She was always a smart, compassionate little girl, so she apologized to me, absorbed my morning lecture on gratefulness, and moved on in life, not ever letting me see her frowning at the dawn of a new day. When you arise in the morning, give thanks for the food and for the joy of living. If you see no reason for giving thanks, the fault lies only in yourself. Chief Tecumseh. To be grateful is your sincere appreciation of opportunities, gifts, benefits, blessings, good fortune, peace, good health, improved health, air, sunshine, and the list can go on. What are you sincerely grateful for? The words grateful, thankful, and having gratitude are often used interchangeably. When you're constantly in a state of gratitude, no matter what's going on during your day or life, you will know that there is always a light at the end of every seemingly dark tunnel. I've often told my clients that you have to condition your mind to assert holistic wellness into your daily routine. In that same vein, You have to condition your mind to constantly be in a state of gratitude, to be grateful and thankful for everything. I mean everything. Some will use the term practice when they reference how to learn to be grateful. I prefer the term condition because to condition means to exhibit a significant influence over a thing, i.e. your mind and your thoughts, in order to determine the outcome of a thing, such as your life, challenges, crises, or decisions, so that you gain your desired results. I believe that conditioning your mind is a positive learned behavior that should be practiced until perfected. You have to understand that you are and become your thoughts. Therefore, you have to regularly condition or train your mind to think above water, even if you feel like you're drowning in that water. In doing this, you will experience many more triumphs and successes in life once, number one, you begin to control your thoughts, and number two, seal those controlled positive thoughts with an opposite of what you're seeing. For example, quite some time ago, I was beginning to feel guilty about how quickly I would go to Sunday worship service, smile, wave, and quickly exit the side door after the benediction to rush home. I was very tired and busy trying to stabilize a new business venture, and as far as I was concerned, time was of the essence. I'd go home, feed my family, and prepare for the next day, post-haste. Due to my working time restraints outside of the church, and the fact that I made it a priority in my life to have an intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father, I just figured it was okay to leave church earlier and not add any additional activities to my already busy life. Well, one day, one of the trustees that I knew and respected dearly, who had apparently been timing my rapid exits out of the side door, ran behind me. She ran behind me calling my name, and I thought, oops, she got me. When I slowed down and pivoted, she said she wanted to let me know that they were having a church fundraiser for the youth department. The teens that I taught during Bible school over the summer, because no one really had the energy to deal with the teen class. Sidebar, we had a blast in our teen class. Anyway, she proceeded to tell me it was a talent show that was open to the public, and to be fair, they would have outside judges as well. She explained how the ladies of the church wanted my daughter and me to participate to help raise money for the youth ministry, and that there would also be cash prizes for the winners. So I was thinking again, yep, she got me. Then I thought how the possibility of winning the extra cash would be nice as well, since I'd basically thrown it all in for my business venture. So I taught my daughter a liturgical dance routine to practice, and I decided to do a monologue on the long line of women of faith dating back generations in my family. I had rehearsed and rehearsed until the final hour. Then, much to my surprise, on the night of the talent show, the auditorium was packed, standing room only. This, of course, amplified my anxiety times 10. There were acts upon acts upon acts. My daughter did well, and I was proud of her. Many other people that I didn't know were perfect. I was happy for them as well. The contestants sang, danced, recited poetry, and so on, perfectly. Then my name was called. My heart was beating and jerking thumps in my belly. I was saying quietly, God, please don't let me pass out, forget my lines, and mess up. Once I took that deep breath, I felt my nerves calm down. Dressed as a very old woman, I went on about the different stages of five generations of the women in my life and how they worshiped, had prayerful lives, and reared more generations of women of faith until my generation, and how I then felt my job was to rear my daughter as another generation of women of faith and beyond. As I was speaking and singing, you could even hear a pin drop, no chair shuffling, breathing, nothing. Then in the middle of my monologue, some music blazes across the PA system, and the audience gasped in shock. I was in shock too, shocked and shook. My nerves amped back up to 1,000. I didn't know how or why the strange music came through in the middle of my speaking because I was a cappella. I completely lost my train of thought. I started to think, should I start over? Exit the stage, left or right? Or what on earth should I do? Yet, as I was sitting there in that moment, I could hear my mother's voice telling me, as a child performing, "No matter what happens, don't stop." Suddenly, in the midst of all that chaos, I yelled out, "Well, thank you, Jesus." When the audience burst into laughter so loudly, my lines came back to mind. I finished my monologue and left the stage thinking, "Well, I messed that up, so forget about winning a prize. I just hope my daughter gets a ribbon or something." After searching for a while, I found my daughter and mother at the church concession stand. My daughter loved the church hot dogs. I wasn't hungry at all after that fiasco. I left them both stating that I was going to finish packing. While I'm packing, I heard my daughter's name as a winner. I ran down the hall to get that hot dog out of her hands so she could accept her prize. I was giddy, absolutely proud of her for winning third place. As we celebrated her win, I continued to gather my final prompts and was headed towards my famous exit door until some kids and the usher came running down the hall yelling, "Miss Cindy, Miss Cindy, they're looking for you. You won first prize." I don't think I have to tell you how wide-eyed and shocked I was, yet sincerely humbled and grateful that through what I considered a disaster, I was deemed noteworthy by third-party judges to be granted the first prize. Little did I know that that day would change the entire trajectory of my life. What I learned was that if I could control my thoughts and not freak out in adversity, then speak a contrary word or phrase in total opposite of what I was visibly experiencing, I could change the outcome of any given situation. I have since that moment practiced this learned behavior many times over and have turned many, many tragedies into triumphs. If you choose to ignore everything else I shared with you in this guide, I would be fine with it. As long as you start to condition your mind to apply this one imperative principle from this one paragraph into your life. Below are a few suggestions and key takeaways that I think may be helpful to you as you begin conditioning your mind to be grateful and thankful every day, despite what you see. I've also included a gratitude checkup exercise to prompt your creativity of thoughts towards your gratefulness. Ways to practice / condition your mind and thoughts: by giving thanks in prayer, meditating on the good things happening in your life, write what you're grateful for in your wellness journal, observing the seemingly small things in your day, daily sessions of self-reflection, create a vision board of all the things you're thankful for. Benefits: there are substantial life rewards granted to those who choose to consistently have an attitude of gratitude. Those benefits include creating pathways for even greater things to enter your life to be thankful for, creating faith that does not waver due to circumstances, creating hope that something good always precedes adversity, creating peace of mind in knowing that, again, despite what you see, better days are coming just for you. Here is your gratitude checkup, your gratefulness. Do this exercise right now. I've simplified this for you to only have to think back over the past 5 days and answer the following questions honestly. Write out your answers. Number 1, what are you thankful for? Number 2, what lessons are you grateful for learning? Number 3, which places are you most grateful to have visited? Number 4, which moments in your day make you feel joy? Number 5, what foods did you enjoy the most? Number 6, what are you most grateful for in your life today? Number 7, which books have you read that had an impact on you? Number 8, who makes you laugh? Number 9, what are you most looking forward to? Number 10, what do you love about this time of year? Number 11, what type of weather makes you feel creative? Number 12, what activities do you enjoy the most? As you ponder your responses to these questions, I'm sure many other reasons to be grateful have surfaced. Do this often, and you'll find yourself less prone to become hopelessly consumed when challenges arise. Beautiful, busy woman, rise above every hill and mountain that attempts to deter you. Then go out into the world and be great. Everything we do should be a result of our gratitude for what God has done for us. Lauryn Hill.
Hello, beautiful people. I hope you enjoyed the insert on gratitude narrated by the beautiful Miss Kimberly Steele on behalf of the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Again, I will leave the links below for the book, The Busy Woman's Guide to Holistic Health and Wellness, and to our gratitude journal. And if you like this channel, please subscribe, like, and share. And until next time, peace, grace, and blessings be multiplied to you. Bye-bye.